Let's get going. There's a lot going on out there, as usual. The issue of coronavirus is now, well, I guess the spotlight, the Klieg lights, the primary lights are on the U.S. and Brazil, leading the world in cases and all manners of illness and stress and long-term disability in some cases. It's not a good situation, and it's only going to get worse. There are a whole number of very important stories that we have up in the headlines right now. Hopefully you'll get a chance to look at those. Dr. Henry Nyman is standing by, as always, to bring us up to speed. So, Henry, what's going on out there? Another crazy day. They change, but they're all the same. They're different, but they're all the same. I don't know how else you can phrase it.
Yeah, what's happening is the cases are kind of a little bit lower. The deaths are not, the deaths are a lagging indicator. So today there were over 1,300 deaths. The cases was a little over 40,000 today. Part of that is due to a low number reported in Florida. It's a little unclear what's going on with the cases in Florida. At one point, they had shut down the testing facilities because of the hurricane, and they were way behind as far as wait times, which tend to make people less interested in getting tested if they're not going to get the results for 10 days or so. And they're looking into why the number of cases tested is down markedly, and then there's a corresponding dip in the number of confirmed cases because they're not testing as many. And so that's depressed the numbers a little bit. Didn't really affect the number of deaths that much. The three states that have been leading for a while now are all still high. California so far today has 183 deaths. Florida has 219 deaths. And Texas has 216 deaths. So between the three of them, they have over 600 deaths, and that's almost half of the total that's reported. And then the other states, there's still several that are reporting, 25 or more deaths, several or 50 or more deaths. And that's per day, so that's just for today. And so from that standpoint, the testing and results are kind of the same, except for the testing levels are significantly lower. The fact that the testing is going down when the number of deaths are near a recent high. They got above 1,000 a few weeks ago and got up to about 1,400 today, was 1,300. So they usually tend to get a little bit higher further into the week. So there's a good chance that the number of deaths will set another, high since May. It was back in May that they had gotten this high. Previously, they had dipped down. They're now increasing. The Worldometer shows U.S. deaths have now topped 175,000. Right. The number of cases, number of cases is now up to 5,655,000. So that would indicate that by the end of this month, the U.S. should top 6 million deaths. It wasn't that long ago that they topped 5 million, and it wasn't that long before that that they did 4 million. So, with 40, 50,000 cases a day, it really doesn't take that long to rack up another million cases. So there's certainly a lot of virus out there. And the reports continue to come in with respect to difficulty schools are having. I had mentioned yesterday that UNC had sent all
at Chapel Hill
students home. And I had indicated yesterday that, you know, that's going to make it tough on the ACC as far as their football schedule is concerned. But today it looks like UNC is not going to have any students on campus, but they are going to play football anyway. So they have not pulled the team out. The team is still scheduled to go ahead and play football. Another ACC team is having problems, and that's Notre Dame. Notre Dame, UNC, I think, had 135 positives in the first week of class. They had several different clusters, and that led them to tell all the students to pack their bags back up and go back home. They're only going to offer virtual classes. There's not going to be any in-class instruction. Notre Dame seems to be right on their heels. They have 85 positives. And they have basically said that they're not going to have any in-class instructions for the next 2 weeks, and they're going to see how that sorts out. Now, Notre Dame is also in the ACC conference. Mm-hmm. Presumably will try to field a team just like UNC is, but
well, they've got to be into practice heavily by now if they're going to. I mean,
They're definitely practicing. And so, most of these reports indicated that they've been doing contact tracing to figure out where all these 135 at UNC and 85 at Notre Dame. And they seem to be traced more to off-campus parties. And so, there's off-campus housing. There's, you know, fraternities and sororities.
Well, that's like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Plenty of holes.
So that's why, you know, it seems to be just a matter of time. And both of these schools, the students have, you know, returned to class fairly recently, like in the last week or two, and they've already got this number of positives. And of course, most of these, you know, parties that they might have traced these back to, everybody's not going to be positive yet. There's going to be a little bit of delay, and then there'll be a second round. So the ones that are positive and they're doing contact tracing almost certainly have already infected other people. They just haven't contacted them yet or if they have contacted, they haven't tested them yet. So the numbers are almost certain to increase, even if there's, you know, some type of limitation on these parties. But, you know, as you said, there are holes that the students are going to do that. That's what they do in college. And most of them think they're invincible. So it's not likely that there's going to be a whole lot of a sudden stop. And it seems to be more and more schools at the college level are shifting gears. For them, it's probably a little bit easier. All the students theoretically already have a computer. A lot of the classes, you know, have an online component anyway. They're used to accessing their schedules and lecture notes and whatever by computer. And so just to switch everything over to computer is relatively easy as far as having all the students having access. It's more difficult if they're moving them all out of the dorms and back to their homes, and they, there's the disruption there. And there's also further spread of the virus. And so, as I mentioned yesterday, that was one of the reasons that I saw these attempts to open up the schools as a reservoir of virus is going to increase and spread because they're going to get infected in schools.
Well, think of it as a big petri dish with people coming and going all the time, and that's exactly what it is. It's a reservoir of virus. Any collection, any aggregation of human beings is subject to the same potential. That's one of the reasons they don't want so many people together. But we're a social species, and it's hard for people not to do that. I don't blame them. I get it. But that's the problem.
Right. And Labor Day is coming up, and it's going to be just like Memorial Day.
Same thing.
There'll be signs up and say the social distance and limit. In view of what happened on Memorial Day, more people may take heed of the warnings, but there'll still be an increase in cases. And that's why I say that there's a lot of virus out there right now. It's going to increase more from this travel and additional interactions, and then flu season's going to come along. So I think that with the numbers being what they are right now, and the changes in activity that are associated with school starting at all levels, and some schools, not so much at the college level, but at the high school or elementary school level, with mask optional, is a guarantee that the schools will not stay open, and that there will be significant increase in the amount of virus just from students going to school. My guess is they're still if their masks are optional, so I would assume their bus services is still in play, and the number of interactions with all of these students going from their home, going to school, probably trying to play sports, fall sports. And I mean, here the band has started. I hadn't seen the band for a while, but they're practicing. So
high school
in Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel, and they're gonna give it a whirl.
Hard to play the trumpet when you're wearing a face mask. But I get it.
Well, I think they actually, I haven't seen them up close, but I think the plan was to have covers over the instrument so that, what comes out, the air will be.
You're kidding.
Filtered.
They're going to put masks on the horns?
I think so. But I'll give you a boots on the ground update.
I got it. I'm sorry. That's a bit much.
What they're doing. But I had heard that there were some experiments that have been done and showed that reduces it. And I would expect that. Now, I may be surprised, but my guess is that the horns will have some type of covering, and the whole endeavor will be a colossal failure.
Another futile effort.
The classes will only last a couple of weeks or so before they go back to online.
It has to play out that way. This is science. It's medical science. It's physics in a way. If you think about it, it's just how it's going to play out. Most of them will have to shut down. The few who stay open, they're not going to test. I guess that's how they're going to do it.
That's what they're doing to Texas. Apparently, Texas, they said, we're going to leave the testing up to the local organization.
There you go.
How uniform that's going to be and how well that's going to be reported and, you know, what that's going to do, the numbers, is all kind of up in the air. And the whole thing is kind of shifting, you know, the pandemic. This is what's going on the ground. And then there's all these political overtones, connections that will almost certainly make things worse. Trump has pretty much abandoned science. He's gone on to his unproven miracle drugs. He's got the MyPillow guy on giving interviews now on, you know, he got this voice that told him to do X, Y, or Z. He and Ben Carson are promoting the
oil
band or whatever. I can't believe that.
I'm sorry. I cannot believe that. That's like just have a little arsenic. It'll help you. It's okay.
That's what they're saying. And actually, they're trying to say, I mean, as far as COVID is concerned, the only data that I have seen is a non-peer-reviewed, you know, preprint type of a study just showing the drug with the virus-infected Vero cell. These are African green monkey cell line, and they put the virus in and add the drug and show that it inhibits the ability of the virus to grow. Apparently, they've used this drug in some cancer treatment, and they said that, you know, there's been some studies at the concentrations they use it at in humans, and it's passed the initial safety test. But this is somewhat akin to the,
you know, that's weird, Henry. Yeah, let me say one thing about that. They're claiming that an anti-cancer drug, this oleander extract, let's just call it that, somehow might be effective against a virus. This is like AZT, which was a failed cancer chemotherapy drug. It was sitting on the shelf, and they took it down, and they prescribed it for HIV. That's what that's where it came from. Same thing. And go ahead.
Right. And that, I think, went after the protease. That was protease inhibitor. And in this case, it's not clear exactly how it works.
I'll bet it isn't.
It is toxic. Right. And they're making the same type of comparison that they made for hydroxychloroquine, which was, well, it's been around. They used it to treat or prevent malaria. And therefore,
for 50 years
it's safe. It's safe because they've used it for one application for one group of patients. And a side effect is heart palpitations. And patients with COVID have heart issues. And so to go and to use the drug in that setting on those patients, many of which are already on ventilators and they're severely ill, and say, well, it's not going to hurt them because it didn't hurt, you know, healthy people that are taking it as a preventative for malaria or even as a treatment for malaria, that they got, you know, a very different virus and a very different disease and a very different level of functionality as far as how healthy or sick the patient is, and saying because they used it against one group of patients which weren't that sick, that it'll be fine for patients that are, you know, on life support is just crazy. I mean, they have no data that because it seems to be okay for it doesn't matter how many years. But it seems to be okay for patient A, and therefore it's good for patient B when patient B is much sicker and has heart problems in many cases. That a drug that has a side effect as being heart issues is not mm-hmm. going to be a problem. And they stopped several of the drugs, several of the trials, because they could see that as soon as they administered the drug, the patients were being monitored, and they didn't look that good in the monitoring because they could see the effect of the drugs, and it was creating all kind of problems. So they mm-hmm. knew it was creating problems. They didn't know that it was going to provide any benefit, and they just basically stopped the treatment, even though these patients were in the hospital mm-hmm. and were being monitored and were all hooked up, and they could see there were problems. And so, you know, these guys, the one guy is, you know, he's a My Pillow guy. I mean, he has zero background in any science.
I don't. Yeah. I had to look that up. I didn't know anything about it. I got it now.
Yeah. And he's out there, you know, and then he was put on the board of this biotech that's pitching the drug. And, you know, you look at his bio, and, you know, oh, he did My Pillow. Da, 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 da. Apparently, with My Pillow, they made all kind of medical claims, and they were sued, and they settled and paid $1 million fine for saying that it's going to cure mm-hmm. fibromyalgia and I don't know what else. You know, problems were going to be solved by sleeping on this pillow. And they had no real data other than
that's no exaggeration. They were actually saying that pillow would somehow help with fibromyalgia? Really?
Exactly correct. Exactly correct. That was the claim. And they got sued for making those medical claims without clinical data.
Right.
And then they settled. They paid a $1 million fine and agreed to stop the ads. And they say, well, they settled because, you know, these were aggressive lawyers and they were costing too much money to defend their indefensible position. Mm-hmm. And therefore they settled. And it was kind of like they didn't have any basis for making the other claims. They, again, didn't have any clinical trials. They were a pillow manufacturer. They didn't have a medical board that was doing and running some type of test with people with this pill and without. This is just, you know, another snake oil salesman. They come on down because look at what this will do. And now they're trying to say, well, now look at this drug. You take this drug and it'll kill virus in a test tube. And therefore it's a wonder drug. And apparently Trump believes it. You know, they made the pitch to him in July, and rumor has it that, you know, he was talking about, you know, this could really work. And he's got, the pillow guy and Ben Carson. He's a retired surgeon that knows nothing about virology or antivirals or, anything about this drug other than what I just told you, which isn't much. That, you know, in a test tube, it works, and mm-hmm. anybody in the field knows that, you know, there are literally thousands of drugs that work in the test tube, and they don't even get past animal studies. That, you know, they either don't work in the animals, or they mm-hmm. kill the animals, or mm-hmm. or cause mm-hmm. some other side effect that basically make it too dangerous to even get to human trials. And when mm-hmm. when they do get to human trials, there's all kinds of issues: how the drug is metabolized, how people with different conditions react to that. There's a whole host of reasons that
Sure.
It's not going to make it past even phase one clinical trials. And they're taking this very early drug and saying it's another miracle drug. And that's kind of, what Trump is looking for. There's all these drugs in trials, these antivirals that are in clinical trials. They've already gotten past, they work in the test tube and they work in they're safe in animal studies and they got initial safety data in phase one. And they're ignoring them.
Henry, we're really getting out of control here with all this stuff. This is like the Wild West. It's nuts.
Right.
It's really crazy.
And then there, like I said earlier, that if you had to pick any person, the worst person you could have put in charge during the pandemic, it would be Trump. And now he's kind of, I would say he probably still is, trying to parlay this into, having his supporters not really believing that the virus is that serious, and those that are opposing him think that his handling of the pandemic has been a disaster and the virus is serious, and then trying to use that difference to affect the vote by creating all kinds of issues with the post
Everything
office.
Is politicized.
And he's basically got his appointed head who's a Trump supporter, and he's doing all of these new directives to basically slow down the mail, and it's already had a serious effect, not because everybody's asking for a absentee ballot. They're having a serious effect because he's changing all of these procedures where he doesn't care if the express mail that they, you pay extra if it gets delivered in a day or two. They're ignoring that and let those sit around. They're not delivering first class. There are serious delays on that.
People getting
medications waiting for the medication and going out and trying to buy the medication because their mail supplies have not arrived.
Here's something interesting. A story today, somebody's come up with the idea of using the blockchain to tally the ballots through internet voting. They're going to try to push this. Now, mark my words, the mail thing is a catastrophe already. It's beyond a disaster. The blockchain is held in almost universal by the rank and file among us people as being private, non-hackable. It's a whole different way of doing things in terms of digital electronics on the internet. And if they can hook that up through some interface, they're saying that the blockchain is literally the safest way to mail in your ballot, right? Not use the mail, but electronically. And I've been saying for many years they're going to go to electronic voting. Now they're going to use the blockchain to present an idea, a concept, as to how they might be able to make this work. I don't understand it. I'm just reporting it as a news item I saw today.
Yeah.
But that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, well, they're not going to implement a brand new system.
Not this quick, but they're thinking already three months before
the deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the head of the post office is already backtracking.
Yes,
I don't know if you've heard the details,
but he
was supposed to appear in front of the Senate on Friday.
Over 20 states have sued him.
Right. They're all suing him because they sent out a letter. They sent out a letter to 46 states saying that the deadlines that they're using as far as when they're telling their voters. They need to get their absentee ballots mailed back by. Is it going to work? They can't guarantee that they're going to arrive.
That's right.
Or they didn't even use the term arrive, but if they're going to get processed in or delivered in time for to meet the deadline. And there's a good chance that they won't count those ballots.
Not going to happen.
And they
You're
sent
right.
it, and they sent it out to 46 different states. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they've already started all of these practices. They've already started taking these $1 million sorters and pulling them offline and not putting them in a warehouse, destroying them. I mean, they're literally destroying the system.
And they're
unscrewing mailboxes, and they're hauling mailboxes away from different cities. And there's all kind of rumors. I mean, one of the rumors is that when Trump said that the fact that he lost by 3 million votes was all due to voter fraud, and mm-hmm. that he went and he got his guy from Kansas to form this committee to do an investigation into how many of the votes in the last, the 2016 election was due to voter fraud. And of course, they found absolutely nothing. They did their investigation and then disbanded without issuing any report or anything, because there was nothing to report other than it was all, hocus pocus. There were no 3 million votes there. They couldn't find any vote. And people have looked at voter fraud many, many times over. It's not widespread. There are very,
right.
very few
right.
cases. But to do their investigation, they wanted all of this data from all of the state on who was voting and where and da 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 da. And so they had this huge database. And some have speculated that they're actually using that database as to who's voting and uh-huh. how they're voting to basically target where they're going to slow the mail down, at what locations, and that's going into collecting the mailboxes and making it harder to mail, to basically use the mail.
Well, didn't Fauci just the other day... Right. Fauci the other day
said you can go vote like a supermarket.
Right. Right. So there may be a big drive to get people to put masks on, go out and cast their ballots, decontaminate, go home.
No, it's not.
But this is going to be pushed by some people.
That's going to be a last resort. They're basically going to say, well, first you try to do it by absentee ballot, and then you don't put it in the mail.
So what's going to happen? Let's just look at it like this. What are the chances of an election being held on, was it November 3rd this year, I think, and actually have a count, an allegedly honest count, within the next 12 to 20 hours? I don't see it happening. It's already beyond doing.
Nobody said it was going to happen. There's a pandemic. There's nothing to say.
It's already off the books because of that. That's correct. You're right.
It will not be off the books. It will take place. This guy is going to backtrack. They're going to have hearings. They've already said that they'll do a separate bill to give the post office $25 billion, so there won't be an issue that they can't pay people overtime.
I see.
They can't basically get... So the mail will get delivered. It'll arrive on time.
Is this a bipartisan bill that I missed somehow, proposed by someone?
Well, the original request for the $25 billion came from the Trump appointees of overseeing the post office. So they're the ones that said that, you know, there's a shortfall on funding and they need $25 billion. And
wow. Wow.
And that's Trump is already, he was already asked whether he would veto a bill to fund the post office, and he said no. And, you know, he's trying to mush it together with all the other things that are in the package that says that he's not going to do it because da-da-da-da-da. And so the proposal is to do a standalone bill, so that is just for the post office. I think that the Republicans are talking about doing $10 billion. The Democrats are talking about doing $25 billion. The post office has a reserve, so it's not like they're going to run out of money this year if they go ahead and deliver the mail. And they said that they really have the capacity that, you know, Christmas, they get an extra billion Christmas card. So for them to deliver, you know, 100 million ballots is not something that's going to overwhelm the system. That the only reason they were going to have delays and the only reason for these announcements to go out and say they couldn't guarantee it is A, the states usually you pay a bulk rate because, you know, they're always short on money anyway, and they basically going to have, you know, literally millions of pieces of mail. And in the past, they go and they pay a bulk rate, but they treat ballots as first class. So they basically, they know there's a deadline, and they know that they're important, and they deliver them. They don't treat them as bulk mail, but the state pay for them as bulk mail. So that's the rate that they typically use. So that's what they've always done in the past. And so as long as they treat the ballots as they have in the past and give them first-class treatment, there wouldn't be a problem. Now, I'm not sure how many of these sorters they've taken offline. And they had all of these constraints that normally first class, even if it's going to require the delivery trucks to work a little bit overtime, they make sure that all the first class mail goes out that day. They don't leave any mail for the next day if it's first class. And they have other procedures. I mean, they have these sorters. And I mean, it's
well, just
crazy
as an example, just in Massachusetts, Henry, a dozen at least of these mail sorting machines just in Massachusetts have been removed. Just there,
right.
I don't
have
a national total for you.
Yeah, I do. It's 671.
Wow.
I don't know that the 671 have all been taken down. That's what their list was, and that's how many they were working on, how many they've done so far. I don't know what percentage of the total that is, but it wasn't even just taking them down. That they had the machines that could sort, one machine can sort 80,000 letters in a day,
right.
And they turned the machine off after they did 40,000 letters. So they deliberately created a backlog. They just turned the machine off. They only ran half of what they would normally run in a day. And they've got these buckets, you know, of mail that are all sitting there waiting to be processed. And their checks in the mail, their social security checks.
Yeah. Your medicine's
delayed.
In the mail. Don't worry.
All these veterans get emails to deliver their prescriptions. Literally millions of prescriptions go out each day.
And that's right.
And they know, you know, they got everything set up. They, you know, shipped on,
let me play this clip.
They're supposed to arrive.
Hold on. Let me play this clip. Now, this is Mark Meadows, Trump's chief of staff, on CNN yesterday talking about this. He says mail sorting machines will not be taken offline. Now, let's see. I want to hear him, what he has to say. That's only 2 minutes here. Hold on. I got to stop it. Turn this down so I don't fry everybody's ear. And here we go. Let me back it up. And there. Oh, this technology. Here we go.
Fund the post office, to fund the postal service, because if there are these considerations, if there are these concerns about whether or not it's going to work, then it would seem that more funding would help as opposed to taking sorting machines off a line so that it will be more difficult to do mailing.
Well, there's no sorting machines that are going offline between now and the election. That's something that my Democrat friends are trying to do to stoke fear out there. That's not happening.
Are you saying that sorting machines have not been taken offline and removed? Are you asserting that did not happen?
I'm saying that sorting machines between now and the election will not be taken offline. Listen, I had postal under my
committee. No, the ones that haven't taken offline in the last couple months.
No, but listen, here's what I'm saying is, when you look at it, the normal process of doing all of this, Jake, I had the postal system under. I had the only bipartisan bill to actually deal with the $146 billion loss that the Postal Service has been will see over the next 10 years. And so when you're looking at this, these postal machines and the drawdown, that was a 2006 bill that has been implemented that I don't necessarily agree with, but that's not this Postmaster
right.
General that did that. That was the previous Postmaster General under Obama.
I get that. Why were these sorting machines taken offline? Why were they taken offline? And why are these?
Jake, you keep saying that. Get your producer to share where exactly those sorting machines were taken offline. Let them whisper in your ear, because what I'm telling you is you're picking up on a narrative that's not based on facts. When you look at the way that we process mail, we closed down a number of centers back 5 years ago under the Obama administration, and some of those sorting
right.
machines come out.
I understand
the normal
that.
Process of taking them out are really about regearing, because we're seeing an increase in parcels, a decrease in mail volume, and what I'm saying is a sorting machine to handle 100 million ballots,
yeah.
it's like a gnat on an elephant's back. It's not going to matter with 8.6 billion pieces of mail going
but
through the
this,
Postal Service every
this...
year.
All right. He didn't answer the question.
He didn't answer the question.
Do you think?
And so that is the question: is how many were taken offline recently?
Right.
And the reports I saw indicated that these were taken offline recently and thrown in the trash. And the fact is that the post office yesterday or the day before sent out letters. And the letters are available in various media reports to 46 of the 51, I guess, the Deacon District of Columbia, of the 51 states saying we can't guarantee that these ballots are going to be delivered prior to the deadline.
Right.
That you have set.
Right.
And the deadlines they set are not new. They're deadlines that were fine in the past. But all of a sudden this year, they get a letter saying, well, what you were planning to do isn't going to work. And the only reason it isn't going to work is because the post office has slowed down the delivery, and they're planning on slowing down the delivery. And there have been all these reports that have come from these particular packages of veterans that didn't get their medication, from people that didn't get their Social Security checks, that everything's delayed, that things that used to take 1 or 2 days are now taking 4 or 5 days. Some things are taking several weeks. And that is ongoing right now. So, his argument that this is happening from 2006, or that, this is, some old.
Well, it's all misdirection.
Regulation.
It's crap.
Nonsense, because all of these things just came up. They came up from postal workers that said that these procedures were changed, that they would always deliver the first class mail. If they had to send somebody out on overtime to get it delivered, it would get delivered.
Well, unfortunately, first class mail is one stamp, and that can take 7 to 10 business days now. Priority mail used to be 2 days. Now it's 2 to 5. I do this, and I know. This is experiential.
Right.
U.S. Postal Service today claims it suspended measures that caused mail delivery delays across the country in recent weeks, including an initiative designed to remove hundreds of mail sorting machines from active rotation. There are no public plans to reinstate machines that have already been taken offline. But starting today, no additional units will be removed from service until after the election in November. That's the official word as of 8 hours ago.
Right. And so that is going to be an issue because
it's
not clear how many machines have been taken off. And it is clear that there are delays due to what they've already done.
671 were scheduled to be pulled off. We don't know how many were actually taken off.
Exactly. And so that's what the question is. Are these delays something that's easily reversible? Are the remedies just something that's not going to make it get worse? I mean, it's already too bad right now to do absentee mailings for many people, because a lot of people, by the time they get their ballots and fill them out and put them in the mail again, they're going to be too late, or they're going to create the concern that people will be afraid to do that. And then when it gets around to voting, I mean, in November, the situation with the pandemic is almost certainly going to be worse than it is today.
You got influenza on top of it. I have no idea how they're going to begin to approach this.
People are not going to want to go out to vote, and they're not going to have the poll workers. Most of the poll workers are elderly. And they're not going to go and I'm going to go and sit here all day long in this gym with lousy ventilation, with a line going around the block because people couldn't vote by mail.
No,
and
that's right.
And they're going to say, sorry, I'd love to do it. I've done this for the past 20 years, but I'm not doing it today. and get COVID because I had to handle all of these, signature cards that everybody had to sign in front of me. I had to kind of pass it down the line.
They'll all be breathed upon, and they're all high risk,
right,
60s average.
So it's designed to create just pandemonium. It's designed to create difficulties in voting. And then, there's also the possibility that certain areas will be targeted more than others, and that's already been seen, where certain areas, you're basically in line for 8 hours if you want to vote, because they cut down the number of polls that were open. And the same thing would happen with this. They would say, well, we had to cut down the number of polls because we didn't have any poll workers.
Oh, this is such dirty politics.
They're not going to volunteer. So there's a way to resolve it. I mean, the more and more states increase the number voting by mail, the voting by mail, like I said, you need to put in your social, probably the last four digits of your social security number. I mean, if you got a blank ballot and it's got somebody's name on it, you need to fill in the blanks. You can't just pick it up and figure out what the guy's social security number is, put it down, and then sign it with the signature that's going to match what he used when he registered, and then have it go in and say, oh, this looks good to me. Oh, yeah, there's no social security number.
Well, what we don't know where the machines that have been removed were taken from. 671 were due to be taken out. That's 10% of the postal system's entire inventory that was to be cut down.
There you go. Yeah, so, I wasn't sure what the percentage was, but
10.
And that's 10% of the national total. They may
that's
have
correct.
Taken down 50-75% in specific precincts.
We don't know.
And they may have set it up so that, it's going to be very uneven. Certain areas, it's going to be virtually impossible.
Well, it's kind of like postal gerrymandering. It's postal gerrymandering is what they're doing.
And that's what I'm saying. When they made this claim of all these stolen, illegal votes in the last election, they went to all the states and asked for all of their information so they know who's voting, who isn't voting, and how they're voting. And they probably have half of that data even without those specifics. They want to pick neighborhoods that they're going to take away the post, and they're essentially going to shut down the post office as far as timely delivery of mail is concerned.
All right, Henry. So, very good. So there's your treatise on the postal system in this country, up to date, with Postmaster Henry Nyman. Thank you very much for that excellent work. Talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay, Jeff. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow.
Worldwide, there's the most consistent, fascinating. We'll be right back in 21 hours. See you then.